And now it's time for a different view. This is the Skeptic Overview.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, from parts unknown, it is the Skeptic Overview with Dave Rabbit, Johnny Ananas, and the Skeptic Overlord. Hello, Senor Bill. How are you today?
Oh, I'm okay. It's been 2 weeks. Last week, I think the powers that be conspired to keep us from getting together.
Yeah.
Either that or a car hit a telephone pole and my internet connection went out. It's one.
Yeah, because it said you were online. And I kept going, he's not online. He's not online. So I picked up the phone.
No, I was on my mobile.
Oh, is that what you were?
Yeah, I was using when you log in ATS Mobile, you still show as being online.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. Okay. Very good.
Before we actually get started here, if I could just interject something, I happen to have read something at AboveTopSecret.com in the secret section where the public obviously can't get to, where you had made a post about something. And because of this post that you made, sir, I would like to do the following, and then perhaps you'll do a follow-up and tell everybody why I might be doing what I am doing at this time, which is...
As soon as I figure out why you're doing what you're doing.
You're going to find out right now. Happy 1,000,000th unique visitor to you. Happy 1,000,000th unique visitor to you. Happy 1,000,000th unique visitor. Happy 1,000,000th unique visitor. Happy 1,000,000th unique visitor to you.
And many more.
And tell everybody why I might be singing that.
Well, you're singing it about 2 weeks premature.
But we're close.
Hey, that's the story of my life, my friend.
That's what his girlfriend said.
what's happening is the January is just going like crazy. Over the past 2 weeks, traffic has just increased tremendously. And if we just simply maintain our current pace, we will surpass the all-important 1 million absolute unique visitors mark for a month. And that's, if anybody knows anything about online and websites, that's really the milestone, where if you're below that, you might be something. If you're above that, you're definitely something.
Right.
And this is the month we always knew we were something, but as far as the rest of the world is concerned, this is the point at which we can say, yes, we are indeed something.
Right. What a mighty large 10-year-old she's become, too.
But, I tell you something that's interesting. Now, you're talking about what a neat month this is for AboveTopSecret.com. When I go to my Podomatic home and stuff, and I look and see who's looking at all the shows and stuff, and it shows me, how many people are clicking from different sites. And I start seeing a bunch of sites that I have never seen before, and I click onto it, and a bunch of them are these underground Democratic little caucuses things that have found out about our interview with Dennis Kucinich and his wife Elizabeth that we have exclusively on AboveTopSecret.com.
By the way, what about that, huh? I mean,
yeah. But I mean, Bill, it blew me away because I'm clicking on it and these people are saying, hey, it's on AboveTopSecret.com. It's really a great thing. And then they're passing it on to somebody. And hopefully, it's only been up 2 days. I mean, Johnny, thanks to Johnny and his amazing post-production work, we had it up before Sunday midnight. And I cannot believe all these underground people are referring people to our site simply because of the Dennis Kucinich interview. And Bill, I know this. You're kind of like Johnny and I. I mean, you're kind of take things for what they are, and you're pretty much a skeptic about people. But I'm telling you, I don't like politicians at all, nobody. But this guy and his wife, Elizabeth, was just sharp as a tack, really impressed the hell out of me as far as their opinions and ideas about where they would like to see things go.
Yeah, I think I can award the highest praise possible you'll ever hear from me in regards to a politician with him, and that is, I don't dislike him.
Oh, that's
hey,
big.
Hey, that's a plus.
That's big. And we've got over 2,000 views, and not counting the hundreds of thousands and millions of people that have a subscription to the show. But I mean, just 2,000, just people, just generally, guests or whatever, that have already seen or gone to it and listened to it, which in 2 days I think is an amazing amount of numbers.
Yeah, that's big. Actually, I was looking at the actual stats for the MP3 file, and we're actually over 12,000.
Wow. And then you put in the scattered, all our feeds, and hell, a lot of our feeds that pick up the shows, through all of our feeds don't even start kicking in till Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, it could be 1 million, 2 million within 7 days without even the blink of an eye.
Right. Yeah, this could quickly turn into our most popular podcast by the end of this coming week.
May I interject something here? You mentioned something with the word called feeds. There may be some people that really don't quite understand this. They normally have been downloading the MP3 from the site or have been listening to it through the streaming player, Bill. Explain to people what the feed is and how they can actually get that.
Well, the podcast feed is an RSS feed. RSS stands for really simple syndication. And really, it is really simple. If you have iTunes, and most people at this point have iTunes, it's a free download, it's not hard to get, or any other Windows or Macintosh MP3 player, all of them have some method by which you can subscribe to a feed. All you do is enter the URL of the feed into the program, and every time you start it up, it'll check the feed to see if it's changed. If nothing has changed, nothing happens. Right. If there's a new file in the feed, for example, a new ATS Mix show, it automatically downloads it. So no need to go to the thread, no need to play it through your computer. And if you have your MP3 player synced up to that program, then it will also automatically upload it to your MP3 player so you can listen to it at your leisure.
And another thing, to take it one step further, because we have not only feeds going out through AboveTopSecret.com, but also through the Military.com site that I'm affiliated with, and also through Podomatic. And there's like 153 feeds coming out of Podomatic. So when something goes out of Podomatic, that goes out to 153 different places that host feeds. And then what they do is they spider it out. So it gets to them, and they may have 200 people from them that spiders out. So basically what you have is a cobweb, if you will, of people worldwide that are able to pick up our shows. And that's where the numbers come in. And it's been amazing. All right, well, let's get to your show. You've got some pretty amazing things that you pick for your the thing I love about the Skeptic Overview is you always find – topics that are so over the top, not only from member participation.
The topics that become popular either because of our members' discussions or their flags. I'm just looking at what's out there, what they're talking about. And
well, I can't wait for this. Yeah, well, I can't wait for the Skeptic Overview on the first one. Let's hear it, man.
Well, the first thread seems to give undeniable proof to the old saying is there's no conspiracy like a good Zionist conspiracy. It's in the general conspiracy forum and has almost 250 replies now, authored by I Talk, You Listen, with the rather unfortunate title of The Holocaust is Overrated. Dramatic pause there. At first glance, this thread might seem like it's heading quickly down the path of history revisionism. In some ways it is, but not really in the way the title might cause our knees to normally jerk.
Right.
He opens with some basic background on how everyone learns about the horrific atrocities perpetuated by the Nazis in World War II, but quickly moves on to tell us these were not the only atrocities. And that really is the crux of this thread. And somewhere down his first post, he gets into, since the Meiji Restoration, that's how you pronounce it, I think, the Meiji Restoration?
Right. I think that's right.
For now, let's just say that's how we pronounce it. The Japanese schools bred a sense of superiority in its students on the basis that the emperor was divine and that they were the emperor's people. So therefore, their purpose was defined. They were taught that other peoples were inherently inferior to them. And then in 1937, they began their invasion of Asia in China, and so much horrible stuff happened. He goes on to add, the Japanese raped and pillaged their way through China, killing off whole villages as they believed other peoples to be equivalent to animals. Almost all women were raped, young and old, hundreds of thousands. Korean women were kidnapped and forced into sex slavery as service stations for Japanese soldiers. They killed so many people that Japanese soldiers began to describe it as monotonous and boring and began to make games out of killing the people. The epitome of the brutality was seen during the Nanjing Massacre, in which 300,000 civilians were sadistically killed. He follows up his opening post with a point to point out further atrocities in the Philippines and Korea and closes with, but my point is, there's an obvious downplaying of history. Why has nobody heard of what happened to Asia? And why is it the Holocaust taught so early on and then reinforced throughout the years? My speculation is that the Holocaust is used favorably for Israel, like 9/11 works for the U.S. What do you think? And the foray begins from there. But early on, one of our staff members, Traker, responds with sort of a nice grounding of a post. He says, rather than focus on the Holocaust as being overrated, odd choice of words indeed, due to other atrocities being as bad or worse, look at them all as horrible instances where humanity showed its ugly side. He later goes on to say, I remember being told once that the reason the Holocaust is discussed as, and mentioned as often as it is to ensure that we never forget. Forgetting something like this allows it to happen again. That's a really good point.
Yeah, it is.
But as it's to be expected, a topic like this brings out some borderline, if not outright, Holocaust denial from a few members, if not outright blame that the Zionist-owned media is ensuring that history focuses on the Holocaust and blah-de-blah-de-blah. You know, I don't know about you guys, but maybe my high school was more progressive than this person's, but I certainly recall a whole bunch of material and coverage of the Asian atrocities during World War II. In fact, I distinctly remember thinking myself, my God, the whole world was going mad.
Right.
And in any event, this thread, like the others we tend to find and talk about in the Skeptic Overview, is a fascinating brew of opinions from a number of different angles. Most important is a tremendous amount of really good information. There's a lot of people contributing, a lot of links from other websites that do really get into some of the horrible things that happened
right.
in the Asian theater from several different sources on very real horrific things that were going on, not just in Europe, but all throughout the world during World War II. And I guess, you know, there are some people that want to jump on the Holocaust denial bandwagon. But on the whole, the thread is a really good lesson in what happened all across the world during that time.
I concur. In fact, if anything, this thread's going to give you a chance to think about the innumerable history of atrocities that have really been against mankind. In fact, I wish I could remember who this historian was that said this, but I think according to his findings, that if you were to total up the number of years that there was peace on Earth without a conflict or war or some other form or type, it would only add up to about 100 years of peace. Now, considering how long man has been inhabiting our tiny little planet, that's really a pretty bad percentage. And I think if Donald Trump were in charge, he'd probably be saying something to, you're fired, to someone, I'm pretty sure.
Right. You know, I just went to page 17 just because there's 17 pages there. And I saw one before we go into your next topic, Bill, from ATS member Skullman88. And he says, as always, what begins as a perfectly civilized dialogue turns into accusations of racism. I love living in such a free country or world where you can't openly discuss anything pertaining to a quote-unquote protected class without being labeled a racist. I think the saddest thing about this entire topic is that United States soldiers were not given a memorial for those that were lost before Holocaust victims got one.
Yeah, boy, talk about bringing on a heavy note. Let's lighten things up a little bit and go to 9/11 conspiracies.
Oh, yeah, as if this one's any lighter.
Oh, yeah, let's lighten it up.
Yeah,
let's
this one's lighter.
Yeah, let's lighten it up a lot. Let's go to 9/11. That's fun.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So Jeff Riff authored a thread that currently has more than 340 replies, and it's titled The Impossibility of Flying Heavy Aircraft Without Training. He opens it up. I did a search and was not able to find this article discussed. I think that it raises some red flags to one that would believe the official story. It's a great read, and I think it's very important to the investigation of a truther. And he links to a website, lookingglassnews.org. What I'm going to do, it's a rather long article. I'll just read some of the conclusion. The writers of the official storyline expect us to believe that once the flight deck crews had been overpowered and the hijackers took control of the various aircraft, their intended targets suddenly popped up in their windshields as if they were in some arcade game, and all that these fellows had to do was simply aim their airplanes at the buildings and fly into them. In reality, a clueless non-pilot would encounter almost insurmountable difficulties in attempting to navigate and fly a 200,000-pound airline into a building located on the ground, 7 miles below, 100 miles away, and out of sight, and in an unknown direction, while flying at over 500 miles an hour, all this under extremely stressful circumstances. And the article is rather long, brings up some reasonably thought-provoking points. It's well-written. But I bring this thread to the attention of our listeners and toss it out there for our discussion Not because there's some really good information, which there is throughout the thread. A lot of members chime in with some good stuff, or because the debate is productive. In fact, despite some very well-intended contributions, this active thread is spinning its wheels fast and furious to Nowheresville.
Right.
In fact, you could literally take out pages 2 through 16, and this thread also has 17. Just show pages 1 and 17, the last page, and no one would notice.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
Because it's a redundant keep posting the same opinions over and over and over and over. You know, everybody wants to put their 2 cents in.
Yeah, and this is the reason why I wanted to cover this thread, because it starts out with a relatively interesting tidbit out of the spectrum of 9/11 conspiracies. It's a good topic with good information and good intentions from several members that does little more to demonstrate the overwhelming futility of debating these 9/11 conspiracy theories, and maybe especially those conspiracies that involve this kind of fine focus on a minutia of specific aspects within the official story. Those just seem to spiral, or not, spiral isn't even a good word, just seem to die a death of redundancy as time goes on. And you guys probably read through some of this thread when I sent it out. Did you get that same feeling as you looked at this?
Go ahead, John.
I did look through some of the articles and the snippets that were quoted there, and I can recall some other articles doing some of my own personal research that were by commercial pilots that had been flying commercial jets all their life. And one of the things that they say seems to be verbatim with all of them, which is that even with the hundreds upon thousands of hours that they've logged in flying in almost every type of scenario you can think of, not one of them said that they could have accomplished making the turns like these jets during the 9/11 scenario did, and then to zero in then on a target that is pretty much the equivalent of like threading the eye of a needle on just instruments. And all of them agreed that, you know, they couldn't have done it. So how could, their question was, how could these inexperienced hijackers then accomplish what they admit that they obviously cannot do with all the hours that they've logged in? So that's kind of what I could add to this. Go ahead.
But the frustration is, yes, that's out there. It's all out there. And there's some really good stuff, but here we are. We're still spinning our wheels, going back and forth about debating these subjects, and it's not getting anybody anywhere. That's really my frustration with this particular thread and a lot of 9/11 threads. It's not that the topic is bad. It's not that the effort is bad. It ends up going nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head because, I mean, realistically, I concur with everything that John said. In fact, we had interviewed somebody, and we got into a discussion pretty much about this. I can tell you, I mean, I was in the Air Force, and I knew a lot of pilots, and, you know, they did bombing runs in Vietnam over trees and everything else, and, I mean, pretty accurate stuff, but they had hundreds and hundreds of hours of experience. You know, they just didn't send them through flight school and throw them into Vietnam. That's not how it worked, you know. And these knuckleheads going to a Cessna dealership, you know, or whatever they did, and trying to learn how to fly something that heavy and that intricate, you know, I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. Sorry.
I have a quick question, Bill, because you brought up a good point of where, you know, if you took out all the pages in between 1 and, 17, I think it was, take out those 15 pages, and then you pretty much got a summary of what's going on. I'm just curious, what is your opinion or conjecture of what might have happened? Do you think that there was some possible radio-controlled additions that were placed on planes for them to be able to make such a maneuver?
You're backing the Overlord into a corner.
I'm very sorry.
You know what? That's okay. Well, if it's pure conjecture.
Yes.
Based on what I've seen and some of the research I've done, and, you know, a disclaimer, I'm not a 9/11 conspiracy theory expert. I'm an expert in the site that hosts 9/11 conspiracy theory discussion.
Yeah.
So that being the case, I may not be up on the most current stuff, but I do tend to think that either one or more of the hijackers were much more expert than we were led to believe, and they got their training through some means that simply has not come out yet.
Right.
And through whatever methodology that is pretty much out there, they were their brains were tampered with so that, you know, they wouldn't be worried about the fact that they were just about to kill themselves as they flew into the building.
Right.
that actually, that scenario, what do you call it, the MK Ultra mind control, right, things like that.
And that's very plausible.
Scenario, yes, that scenario was reasonably popular as a means to fathom how this could have been accomplished just a few months after it all happened.
Right.
And then what came to light was, you know, the possibility that the aircraft were remote controlled. And again, that technology exists now. It existed then. So there's no reason to think that that may not be the case as well. But if you were to ask me to pick which one, I would tend to lean towards the fact that at least one really expert pilot in one way or another was part of the crew that overwhelmed the aircraft and flew it into the buildings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could speculate all day on that. But before we speculate any further, we will need to pause for a message from one of our sponsors.
Dave Rabbit here again with the ATS Mix Show from AboveTopSecret.com. If you love politics and are tired of hearing and reading all that robotic crap that keeps churning out from the mainstream media, then come join me and thousands of people from around the world at AbovePolitics.com. They have political forums for everyone's taste, including U.S. politics, United Kingdom politics, Canadian politics, head-to-head political debates, politics of war. They have a general chit-chat and a freshman forum for you newbies and rookies to the political arena. There's also forums about Mideast conflict, socialism. They have a slugfest, liberalism, conservatism, moderate, and my personal favorite, military and security issues. So if you don't want to be another sheep and want to be a unique thinker, AbovePolitics.com is for you. Part of the Above Network, LLC. Deny apathy. AbovePolitics.com.
And we're back. Okay, Bill, let's go into your final topic, which I think...
Yeah, well, I want to toss this one out for discussion. And,
I love this.
Yeah, this is enough of the doom and gloom. You know you're in trouble when you jump to a 9/11 conspiracy thread to lighten things up. So let's really cheer things up by talking about the economy.
That's what we do here at AboveTopSecret.com. We deny ignorance and we deny playthings. All right, go ahead. Oh,
boy. Yeah, there's several threads over the past week that get into the mess that we have here. The one I picked out to spark our back and forth today is authored by Jack Cat.
Mountain.
I hate this guy's name. I love him. Yeah. It's Mountain abbreviated. And
right.
Every time, I've highlighted his threads a few times on the show, and because he does author some really good threads, but
he's
every
sharp
time,
as a tack, yeah.
Yeah, every time I go to say his name, it's like, anyway, in the news forum, it's titled Recession Fears Blanket Wall Street. And what a horrible week it was for the economy.
Oh man.
And we should preface this by saying there are a few, I mean, there's a handful, if not a dozen, really strong reoccurring themes in the conspiracist's toolbox. One of those themes is the inevitable downfall of the capitalist society and the doom and gloom of the stock market big crash coming at some point in the future. And I can tell you with certainty that that has been a reoccurring theme since 1978, when I first started paying attention to this stuff. So it's almost the same theme as the world is going to end. But certainly, this past week has been terrible, if not as bad as some of the stock market stresses that the industry saw right after September 2001. So we have quite a weird mix of stuff happening at Wall Street, a combination of just the housing market tumbling. I'm looking at the Market Watch News homepage right now, and the home sales, the latest data came out, the home sales are still shrinking. Mm-hmm. Consumer confidence is low. Production is low in the industrial sector, and it's all bad, bad, bad. What's your take?
I happen to observe some charts, some historical charts, and also some current daily and weekly charts, and I got to tell you, you know, the way you kind of picture a correction, if you will, and that seems to be a popular word that they like to use a lot. Oh, we're in a correction stage, you know. You observe in this past week three major drops. And in two of those drops, there were new gains. And usually in a correction, that is a good sign. But in each of these gains, they were a little bit lower than its previous gain. And then when we get to the third drop and correction, there was no gain. It was below what it originally had started at. So since this third one didn't bounce past its previous peak, we're seeing a whole decline and a whole lot of bear sentiment now that's rising. And so one of the things that I happen to notice is that, you know, generally when you see a drop like that, you see oil and gold riding in the opposite direction of whatever the Dow does. If stocks and the dollars have a falling trend, then it seems that oil and gold usually take the lead in investor hedging. But I noticed this last week that a different trend seemed to be developing, which was that stocks, oil, and the dollar all dropped, but gold continued to climb. Now, this might be an indicator that investors are getting a little more scared and moving into hedging their investments into gold and other metals and commodities. But what really cracked me up is when the federal chairman, Ben Bernanke, came out in favor of the economic stimulus plan and repeated that he was ready to cut rates further, and Bush was all behind him, and all the major indexes started falling, and they just kept falling.
Right. I know.
And so I kind of personally feel that we're going beyond a stage of what might be called that correction. And this seems to be resounding, you know, almost worldwide. The British FTSE has dropped, I believe, about 20% since its peak in early June 2007. Japan, there's been a wave of selling sweeping across Asia in the recent days and weeks, because I think they're kind of coming to the point of thinking that this U.S. downturn is going to cause a lot more damage than maybe was originally was thought. You know, its index, I think, in March 2007 was 18,000 points, and it's lost nearly 5,000 points since then. So, you know, you got to ask yourself, what are we going to do? Are we going to do what we've done in the past, which is borrow more money from China as they really enjoy buying our debt? Well, some might claim that we're just in this downward cycle, but I think there's a lot more other factors that might be involved in this supposed cycle than what has happened in times past. And so maybe in light of these multifaceted events, I would like to present a Johnny Anonymous twisted conspiracy. And that is, what if, because of the USA's multi-trillion dollar debt, a very, very, very weak dollar, home sales dropping, banks needing cash, subprime lenders having problems, foreclosures at an all-time high, housing starts dropping by 14%, tent cities popping up in California, 9/11 being discussed in the Japanese parliament as foul play, an impending economic recession, and all these other events happening? I mean, why is Bush and the Fed so quick to wanting to put an infusion of money into the system when in time past they would just say, hey, the economic is strong, regardless of what you hear and what the markets might do or say? Well, what if?
That's not a very good game.
I know, I'm sorry. That's someone else probably. But what if this had all been planned? This is the conspiracy part. Or in the least, be allowed to happen so that the government can possibly then maybe move into another phase. We already know, this has been publicly established, that there has been drafted and approved the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, established. And it seems to me that these financial circumstances are possibly just bringing us closer to what some have suggested for a new regional currency called the Amero, which is kind of a Euro-styled regional currency, which would then combine Canada, Mexico, and the United States all together. And that's the Johnny Anonymous twist conspiracy. And you know what the heck? Maybe I'm just way off base. Maybe I just spend way too much time at AboveTopSecret.com. But what if I'm not wrong?
Like, okay, well, I can sum mine up in two words. It sucks. Okay, Bill, what else you got?
Well, I was just muttering under my breath, we got a closet economics geek here in Johnny.
How long did it take you to write that script, John?
I actually have a question. Let's stay on topic here, because I think we have there's some interesting stuff I've noticed I want to bring up too. But on top of everything you said, yes, there's some really good stuff out there. It's a combination of greed from the banks and some real consumer stupidity in buying homes people just couldn't afford. I mean, there's a lot of that going on as well. But also with the stock market, how much of what's happening now do you think is just purely emotional overreaction from the investors? Because I've seen a lot of stories also that feel the so-called correction has been deeper than what was needed.
Well, emotional sentiment does obviously play into it. That's a truism.
Right now, you two guys are really the stock gurus on this thing. You know, I haven't ever invested in a stock, nor will I ever invest in a stock. You know, my investments are in real estate. So, I mean, I know nothing about the stock market, but I do know this about people. People do things, they knee-jerk to things that happen, whether it's in stocks, whether it's in land, whether it's been investments in corporations or whatever. They knee-jerk because they panic. They go into panic mode. I think a bunch of investors have gone into panic mode on this deal.
Oh, definitely.
Sure.
There's a lot of panic, and you can tell. I mean, the stock market has always had some swings, but I don't ever recall a time of volatile swings.
Right.
That we see now. I mean, there will be, and I remember looking at the news, it wasn't so much this week, but in some previous weeks, where, like yesterday, oh no, I mean, the headlines on MarketWatch were, oh, Dow down 220 points or whatever, you know, the bulls are taking over. The next day, it's up 180 points, and life is good. It's
so,
just...
Well, you guys are really astute on this thing. Wait. I mean, how far down has it gone? I mean, has it gone further than this before, other than, you know, Black Tuesday?
We're almost 20% down from the highs, from where it was a few months ago, from the peaks.
But
that's a big correction.
That's significant.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that, you know, Black Tuesday, when the whole thing's crashed and everybody's jumping out of windows and stuff, what is the lowest it's been since that time, Bill? In other words, where is this?
Percentages. Black Tuesday, there was almost a third of the value was lost in that market crash, wasn't it, Johnny?
I believe that's pretty close, yeah.
Third so where is this one compared to Black Tuesday?
It's not there yet.
Okay. Yeah. So there's still some hope for us then.
Oh, yeah. We have a long way to go. But what's interesting, and we're getting into a rather long segment, but I wanted to bring up this point and see what Johnny thinks. And see also, Dave, if you recall this, we are almost reliving what happened 8 years ago. And from a financial standpoint, but all for different reasons.
Oh,
but I know. But very similar situation. And it's election season.
Yeah. Right.
What's going on? That in 2000, we had a lot of talk from politicians of economic trouble. And especially in 2000, it seemed as though that preceded the economic trouble. And we had this, at least in my mind, and I wasn't watching it as closely as I was then, but there just really seemed to be a playing with investors for political reasons. And it seems as though Bush is trying to do that again with his little speech on Friday. But it just is really bizarre that we go through cycles of this kind of stuff that seems to parallel election seasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you look back at the market and where it's been peaking and where it's been stressful, it's election seasons.
Right.
And that's the one thing in this most current thing that really has me wondering. Because, yeah, there's a lot of good reasons for what's happening. A lot of really bad decisions from banks. I mean, Citigroup just wrote down a whole bunch of money, trillions. Yeah. How much was that, Johnny?
I don't recall, but it was in the trillions.
Historic,
yeah.
Right. So, yeah, there's some really bad crap going on out there. But again, still, it's during election season again. It's just unusual how this is happening. And if you're active and above top secret, you know, you've got to be thinking that almost any major event, it's being manipulated somehow. I mean, that puts it in the back of your head.
Right.
And then when you start seeing these patterns, even though this current pattern appears to have all of these outside forces, it's still a reoccurring, repeating pattern that seems to match up with other events that match up with global politics. So it's also got that flavor to it that I can't put my finger on what I think it is, but it tastes funny is the point I'm trying to make.
One last quick thing I want to jump in here with, and that is something I saw on the news last night. They were talking to some people talking about the rising cost of gas, petroleum. And, you know, now they're forecasting that here in Dallas, well, we've done this gas scenario before, but here in Dallas it's going to get up to possibly, they're forecasting, $3.25 a gallon. Now, for Dallas, that is an unbelievable jump. Because right now we're at like $2.85. So you're talking about a 40-cent increase, maybe even a 50-cent increase in a year's time. Well, people were on the TV last night saying, well, my God, you know, it cost me $50 to fill my car up now. You start adding 50 cents a gallon. And then they're talking about adding all this additional taxes for road improvements and bridge improvements and all this other stuff. Well, people are going to have to start making a decision. Do I eat or do I go to my job? And don't you think those also have a lot to do with everybody being shaky, Bill?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the cost of getting by is going up quite a bit. And then all of the other factors also come into play, where almost the past 10 years, a little bit less maybe, but when people go to buy a house, you know, you were always encouraged to buy the biggest house you could possibly afford and maybe then some, you know, thinking that, okay, well, you know, we'll get by in peanut butter and jelly for now, but someday in the next couple of years, I'll get a raise and it'll be okay.
Right, right, right.
Well, it's not okay. You know,
I can't afford the peanut butter anymore.
That's a good one, John.
I just wanted to add something to what David said. You said you guys in Dallas are paying how much for a gallon of gas?
Right now, regular, the cheapest gas, and I'm talking about going to like QT or one of these ones that are, you know, profess right. the discount gas, is $2.85 for regular.
$2.85 for regular?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a whole lot of real jealous Californians right now because we're paying approximately $3.32 to $3.40 a gallon, and we have been for about the past 9 months.
Bill, how about up in the Northeast?
Yeah, that's where it is in New York State.
It's okay, right well, you know, here's the thing about this thing. Now, did you guys also pick up on the thing about the government wanting to put like a 40 or 50 cent additional charge on the gasoline to help improve the infrastructure, whatever?
Yeah, I saw that a while back. Yeah, well, in the first case, yes, the infrastructure does need improvement, but I imagine all of that misspent Iraq war money could have been put to good use.
You think?
Oh, duh. Mission accomplished. Smell a bitch slap him. Anyway, I guess that's all the time we have for today, Bill, unless you got something else you want to add.
No.
Well, since that's the CEO of AboveTopSecret.com, I guess that's enough. So on behalf of all the members at AboveTopSecret.com, Johnny, myself, and the Skeptic Overlord, come back and see us next time on another Skeptic Overview on the ATS Mix.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.abovetopsecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. Thank you.